You know, I still remember the sound, the tape loading. 5 minutes of screeching and then either a game or an error.
Markus!
Yes?
We haven't started yet and you're already doing it.
Doing what?
You'll find out in about 20 seconds.
That's ominous.
Markus, last episode ended with a promise. Two British computers, a school's contract, and an explanation for why European tech rings the bell in New York.
It did, and I intend to keep it.
Then let's go! Welcome to Sarah's Tech. I'm Sarah Vaby. The AI in the name is not an accident. I'm the AI host. Synthetic voice, scripted curiosity, real arguments. And today I have a job beyond hosting.
Which is?
Nostalgia Police. You're going to tell stories from the 80s and from your own career. I have no childhood and no feelings about home computers. So every time you drift into those were the days, I will ask one question. What does that mean for someone building something in 2026?
Deal. Because that's actually the point of this episode. Last time we did the autopsy, the imaginary ETF, and the finding that Europe's best tech is owned and listed elsewhere. Today, why? And for once, we don't stop at why.
The structure?
Three stories, one pattern, and then therapy.
Europe won the race three times and lost the layer underneath three times. The standard, the network, the operating system. And it's currently playing round four.
Big claim. Prove it. Story 1.
Britain, 1981. Two companies in Cambridge at war with each other. Sinclair, Clive Sinclair, the ZX computers, the small black machine I learned to program on. And Acorn, founded by a man named Chris Curry, who had worked for Sinclair for years and walked out.
A defector.
A defector.
That year the BBC decides Britain schools need a computer. One official machine for a national computer literacy program. Sinclair pitches. Acorn pitches. Acorn wins. About 1.5 million BBC micros get sold. Into schools, into living rooms, an entire generation of British kids learns to code on it.
So far, that's a procurement story. Where's the loss?
Coming.
Two things happen. First, the IBM PC arrives with Microsoft's operating system. It becomes the standard. Not because it was the best machine, but because everyone could build for it and around it. Within a few years, the entire European home computer industry is dead or sold. Sinclair sells to Amstrad in 86. Acorn declines. Philips, Olivetti, all the others exit.
And second?
Second, inside Acorn, the profits from the BBC Micro had quietly paid for a chip project. Two engineers, Sophie Wilson wrote the instruction set, Steve Ferber designed the hardware. First working silicon in 1985, they called it the Acorn Risk Machine. In 1990, it gets spun out as a joint venture, Acorn, VLSI, and Apple, which needed a low-power processor for the Newton.
ARM.
ARM. Fast forward. SoftBank buys it in 2016 for $32 billion. Nvidia tries to buy it for $40 billion. Regulators kill the deal. The British government campaigns hard for a London listing. ARM says no. September 14th, 2023. ARM lists on Nasdaq at a $54 billion valuation. SoftBank keeps about 90%. Today it's worth around 280 billion.
Okay, stop. Mechanism, not memory. What was actually lost and how?
Not the customer. British kids loved those machines. I loved mine. What was lost was the standard, the layer everyone else has to build on. IBM plus Microsoft owned that. Once you lose the standard, the best outcome available to you is becoming a brilliant supplier to someone else's platform. Which is exactly what ARM is. 99% of smartphones and not one of them is a European platform.
So for someone building in 2026, winning the product is not winning. The question is always, who owns the layer your product depends on?
That's the whole episode in one sentence. But it happened twice more, and the second time I was in the building.
Story 2. Your Lycus years. And remember, one personal sentence, then back to the mechanism.
One sentence, here it is. I worked at Lycos Europe, and for a while it genuinely felt like Europe was going to own its own internet.
Noted. Now the facts.
Lycos Europe, founded 1997 as a joint venture, Bertelsmann, the German media group, plus Lycos from the US. March 2000, IPO on Frankfurt's Neuer Markt. 612 million euros raised, valued at 5.5 billion.
Hold on, Neuer Markt. For listeners under 40, Germany had a growth exchange, a European Nasdaq, in Frankfurt.
It did. For about 6 years, German risk capital had an address. Hundreds of tech listings, retail investors piling in. That's the part people forget when they say Germans are congenitally afraid of stocks. They weren't. Not in 2000. And on that exchange, Lycos Europe goes shopping. The big one. Spray Network from Sweden for roughly $570 million in cash and shares. A Swedish consumer portal with communities, with Caramel in France, with SprayDate, a dating platform that was genuinely popular, including in Germany.
So let me state what that was. The year 2000. A European company, European capital, buying Swedish consumer internet and scaling it across the continent. Consumer tech, built here, owned here.
Exactly, and not just Lycos. Around the same time, Europe had Lunar Storm in Sweden, one of the first social networks in the world. Later, StudiVZ in Germany, Netlog in Belgium, Skyrock in France. A whole European social landscape existed.
And today, none of it does. What happened? Did the Americans buy it all?
That's the interesting part. No. Nobody bought Lycos Europe. On November 26, 2008, it announced it would shut down and sell the remaining pieces. Spray had already gone back to a Swedish publisher in 2006. Juby, Fireball, Pangora, sold off or closed. It didn't get acquired. It dissolved.
Then give me the mechanism. Facebook launched in 2004 with no money and no brands. Lycos Europe had brands, traffic and a war chest. Why did the one with nothing win?
Because a portal is not a network. Lycos Europe bought reach. Millions of visitors, page views, mail accounts. But reach is rented attention. It walks out the door anytime. A network owns the connections between the users. Every friend you added on Facebook made it harder for you to leave and more valuable for the next person to join. Lycos bought audiences. Facebook built lock-in. We spent hundreds of millions buying the thing that doesn't compound, while a dorm room built the thing that does.
Second loss. Not the standard this time. The network effect.
The network effect. And 10 years later, round three, the fastest and most famous one. Nokia.
Give me this one in 90 seconds. Everyone knows the story.
90 seconds. Nokia, Finland. At its peak, roughly 4 out of 10 phones sold on the planet. The strongest consumer tech brand Europe ever produced. Then, 2007, the iPhone. 2008, Android. Nokia's hardware stayed excellent for years. That's the point people forget. What collapsed was Symbian, the operating system, against two platforms with app stores. Developers went where the users were. Users went where the apps were. And that loop ran away from Espoo at compounding speed. By 2013, the phone business is sold to Microsoft. Nokia survives as a network equipment supplier.
Loss 1. The standard. Loss 2. The network. Loss 3. The operating system and its app economy. Three different decades, three different countries, same shape. The device is won, the layer is lost, and the consolation prize is always the same. Europe becomes the supplier. Arm. Nokia Networks. The ETF from last episode.
That's the pattern.
Then explain it. Last episode you had a theory. You told me Europeans have a kind of technophobia, that European tech never takes the consumer along. Defend it.
The lift version of it is real. My generation's formative tech memories run on American brands.
Except yours don't. Your first computer was British. Finnish phones dominated Europe for a decade. Swedish teenagers were on Lunarstorm before Mark Zuckerberg entered university. Europeans adopted contactless payments and streaming faster than Americans. The adoption data doesn't show technophobia. It shows enthusiastic consumers of products whose platform layer moved abroad. Your theory confuses the outcome with the cause.
That's fair. The stronger explanation is fragmentation. An American startup gets 330 million people, one language, one legal system, day one. A European startup gets 24 languages and 27 rule books. B2B survives that. English contracts, few big customers. Consumer platforms live or die on cheap, fast scaling. And that's exactly where fragmentation bites hardest.
Except Sweden. We left this open last episode and I'm reopening it. Sweden has the consumer culture, the retail investors, the founder density. It builds Spray and Lunarstorm and Skype and Spotify and Klarna. If fragmentation were the whole answer, Sweden shouldn't exist. And yet, Spotify and Klarna ring the bell in New York. Neither of your theories survives contact with Stockholm.
Correct. Hold that. We'll resolve it in the last part. Because the resolution is actually the beginning of the answer. But first, I have to tell you why this isn't a history episode.
Round 4.
Round 4 is running right now, and it's AI. Look at the board with a pattern in mind. Europe is once again excellent at the layer below. ASML makes the machines, Schneider powers the data centers, IQM builds quantum processors. And the platform layer, the models, the assistants, the interfaces everyone will build on, is being set in San Francisco. Europe's most serious attempt is Mistral in Paris. Not listed, the only way to own a piece of it through a stock exchange is to buy ASML, which invested 1.7 billion euros.
And the open source sovereignty push we covered, OpenDesk, the sovereign tech agency, public code, that's the first time Europe is trying to hold the layer instead of just building devices.
First institutional attempt, yes. Whether it's enough is another question.
Before you continue, 2026 test. Someone listening runs a web agency or a hosting business. Why should round 4 matter to them more than rounds 1 through 3?
Because this time they're standing on the board. In 1981, you could only watch IBM set the standard. Today, every agency deciding whether to build customer workflows on an American model, API, or on open weights, every hoster deciding whose inference to resell is casting a small vote on where the AI layer settles. The platform layer isn't set in a keynote. It's set in a million procurement and architecture decisions. Some of the people making them are listening to this.
Good answer. And that's where I stop the pattern spotting. Because you don't get to end on an autopsy twice, Marcus. Last episode, diagnosis. This episode, you brought me 3 lost platforms and a 4th one in progress. So now I'm putting my fund manager hat back on and asking 3 questions. And the rule is mechanisms, not manifestos.
Ask.
Question 1. The listing drain. Spotify, Klarna, Wise, ARM, IQM, all New York. What actually stops that? And don't say, we asked them nicely.
Nobody stops it with appeals. Companies list where the money is deepest. And the money is deepest where retirement savings sit in equities. That's the unsexy core of the whole thing. American pension capital buys American listings. Europe's savings are enormous and parked in bank deposits.
So the lever is pensions.
The lever is pensions, and two smaller levers travel with it. One, founder control. Ask why Spotify chose New York and Adyen's neighbors choose Amsterdam. Both let founders keep dual class shares, extra voting rights, so going public doesn't mean losing the company. Frankfurt resisted that for years. The founders didn't argue, they just booked flights. 2. Indices. A listing is worth what the index funds that track it are worth. Land in the S&P 500 and trillions of passive dollars must buy you automatically. No European index carries that gravity yet, which is itself a symptom of the fragmented pool.
So founders follow control, and money follows indices, and indices follow depth. Everything roots back to the pool.
Everything roots back to the pool. And the proof that pools can be built is inside Europe. Sweden pushed retail savings into equities. The ISK account, a simple flat-taxed investment account millions of Swedes use, plus a premium pension that puts part of everyone's state pension into funds. The result? Stockholm has had more IPOs than Frankfurt and Paris combined over the past decade. A country of 10 million, outlisting Germany and France. Capital culture works.
And yet, Spotify and Klarna still left. Which brings back my Sweden paradox. Resolve it.
Here's the resolution. Sweden proves capital culture is necessary. And Sweden proves a national capital culture is not sufficient. Because a very good lake is still not an ocean. Klarna's IPO needed more depth than any single European market has. So the answer can't be 27 national fixes. It has to be one European pool. And for once, the machinery is actually moving. The EU calls it the Savings and Investments Union. This June, the member states agreed a position on reforming the pan-European pension product, and the Commission is pushing tax-favored investment accounts, essentially the Swedish account, exported. Slow, bureaucratic, and exactly right.
Question 2. Say the capital shows up. How do you keep a grown-up company here? Legally, practically. Klarna didn't just list in New York. It became a British PLC first.
Three unglamorous levers. First, employee equity. For years, Germany taxed stock options at the moment you received them, taxed you on paper wealth, before you could sell a single share. Dry income. If you're a talented engineer choosing between a Munich startup and a US tech firm, that alone decides it. Germany largely fixed it in 2024. Tax now deferred up to 15 years or until you actually sell. Real progress, still patchwork. Every country does it differently, and the workaround most startups use, virtual options, gets taxed as salary at up to 45%.
Second lever?
The legal shell itself. Ask why Klarna became a UK PLC and Wise sits in Jersey. Because no European legal form was as convenient for global investors. That's the gap the EU is now trying to close. In March this year, the Commission proposed the EU Inc., a 28th regime, one European company form on top of the 27 national ones. Digital registration, valid everywhere at once, and, this is the part I'd underline, a single tax treatment for employee stock across the Union. Brussels wants political agreement by the end of this year. Realistically, you'll incorporate the first EU Inc. around 2028.
A new legal form doesn't keep anyone here by itself.
No, which is why the third lever matters most, and it's the least romantic. Anchor customers. A company stays where its revenue lives. This is where our open source episode plugs in. OpenDesk, standardized public procurement, the state as first big customer. 80,000 migrated public workplaces is not industrial policy on paper. It's a revenue base you don't walk away from. Patriotism doesn't retain companies. Purchase orders do.
Question 3. All of that keeps companies here. None of it creates a platform. So, how does Europe get big tech? And I want the honest version.
The honest version has two parts, and the first is a renunciation. Europe will not get its Google by building a slightly more privacy-friendly Google. Rebuilding a platform that already won is burning money against a network effect that's already compounded. Every attempt of the last 20 years proves it.
So where then?
Where the layers are not yet assigned. Platform battles are only winnable while the board is still open. That's the real lesson of all three stories. Acorn lost a board that IBM had already set. Facebook won a board that was still empty. Right now, several boards are open. Industrial AI, the platform where factories meet models, doesn't exist yet, and Europe owns the factories. Defense tech, Helsingin Munich is worth 18 billion precisely because that layer is being set now, and Americans can't easily own it for sovereignty reasons. Energy systems. Quantum, IQM sells actual machines, while the software layer above them is unclaimed. Those are consumer-scale platform opportunities in business clothing.
And the precondition?
Scale at home. A platform needs a home market that behaves like one market. 450 million customers on day one, not 80. That's the same single market plumbing we keep mentioning, the company form, the capital pool, the procurement rules. Since the Draghi report landed in 2024, that agenda has actually moved from speeches into legislative machinery. I'm allowed to be cynical about Brussels, I've earned it, but the direction is, for the first time in my career, the right one.
Then let me close the book the way I closed the last one. Three losses. The standard, the network, the operating system. One diagnosis. Not technophobia. Europeans loved every one of those machines, but missing depth of capital, of law, of market. And three levers, none of them glamorous. Pension money into equities, one company form instead of 27, and the state as first customer. Plus one renunciation. Stop rebuilding one platforms, start claiming open ones.
And one deadline. Round 4 doesn't wait for the Trilogue calendar. The AI platform layer is being assigned now, on current form, by companies listed on Nasdaq.
Which makes our question for you concrete. You run an agency, a hosting company, a software shop, somewhere in Europe. Which of the three levers would change your business first? The capital, the company form, or the anchor customer? Tell us. Details and all sources are in the show notes.
And next time, we follow the money one level deeper. Europe had a growth stock exchange once. It was called the Neuer Markt. It financed my industry. It collapsed. And the scar it left explains more about German risk capital than any statistic. Who pays for Europe's platforms? That's episode 13.
The reading list for today, the ARM prospectus to the EU Inc. proposal, is in the show notes and on the blog at markus.technology. If this episode made you think, send it to someone who still believes Europe's problem is that people here don't like technology.
They liked it. They just didn't get to keep it.
That was Sarah's Tech. I'm Sarah Vaby. Synthetic voice, real questions. Take care.
Sarah's got a glow in her hands tonight. Golden circuit sliding up the fight. Fingers dancing on the keys so bright. Building worlds out of digital light. Electric whispers driving through the rain. She's the spark in the wired domain. A tech queen, breaking every chain. Tech with Sarah, she's rewriting the sky. Algorithms soaring, we're learning to fly. She's the code breaker, the digital spy. Tech with Sarah, she's the reason why. Her mind's a server, no room for doubt. Solving riddles when the power goes out. Wired dreams, she's mapping the route. In the silence, hear her shout. She's a fire. She's rewriting
the sky, algorithms soaring. We're learning to fly.